I know no about variety. Single parents will need some charity. Youth will need some love and prosperity. Instead of broken dreams and tragedy, by any plan and any means and strategy. Instead of broken dreams and tragedy, youth will need some love and prosperity. Instead of broken dreams and tragedy, by any plan and any means and any strategy. Hey, say, you got to keep on walking on the road to Zion, man. You know, you got to keep on walking on the road to Zion, man.
Hallelujah. This is Brother Dewell. Thank you for joining me again. Kol Elohim, Bible 101. And today we're going to continue talking about leadership, but what we're going to do is examine one of the most influential people ever to live in this country, being America. Dr. Martin Luther King. And we're going to take a look at his I Have a Dream speech and see if it lines up with the will of Yahweh. You know, because what we've been looking at for the past couple weeks is leadership. And if the leaders are not saying and doing the will of Yahweh, and we're following them, what's in store for us? We as black people been very disappointed in this country, and we say this country is unfair and everything, and we've been victims of the brutalization, the brutality in this country, and unfair wages being paid for the same jobs. Every type of injustice we have suffered within this country. And we have leaders, various leaders who've risen up during the years and stated and gone about things in different manners, but still our condition stays the same, you know. So we need to examine, like the word says, examine ourselves, see if we be in the faith. Because if we believe in that holy script and we do what the Holy Script says, according to the way the Most High wants us to do it, you know, which is a very, very big part. I believe our brother Yaka'el went through that, and the influence on scholarship, the influence that scholarship has on the Bible, and how it's actually causing confusion, you know. Because the English says this, and it's been translated as this. But is that the mind of the Most High? But getting back to what I was saying, our leaders and the people who lead us ought to have the mind of the Most High. Now, before we get started, let me just say this. The word says that we give credit where credit is due. And in no shape or form am I bashing or trying to belittle or downgrade the things that Dr. Martin Luther King did. Now, he went through numerous battles. I believe he was locked up. He had dogs sicked on, got hit with fire hoses, rocks thrown at him. All for the sake of equality within this country for black people. Okay? I'm very grateful for that, the things that he did, because a lot of the things he did even enables us right now as black people to come before you on this internet radio program. You know, so it's not a belittlement of Dr. King or anybody that has stepped up for the rights of black people and stepped up for the rights for injustice in general, you know. Because right now, like I said, we're going to look at Martin Luther King. He wasn't the only one out there doing those things. You know, you have Malcolm X, you have Emmett Till, you have many people who went out for the rights of black people and fought for equality in this country. And we're very grateful to them. Very grateful for them. See, but 100, 200 years later, equality is still something we as a people do not possess it in this country. And there has to be a reason. It must be a reason why 100 years later, 200 years later, 150 years later, 100 years later, 150, 200 years later, we are still suffering the same injustices as they did back in the 1800s. As they did in the 60s, in the 50s. You know, our situation as black people have not changed. Our situation as a race, and I'm just focusing on here in America, because I mean, you can look across the globe and see that the situation for people of color have not changed, you know. But I live here, and so I'm gonna focus on here, because one of the proclamations that this country likes to make is that we are the land of the free, home of the brave, but we don't have freedom. We're still being slain in the streets by the police. We still are unequally compensated for doing jobs as our Caucasian counterparts are concerned. We still have all types of injustices going on, and now even more so targeting the black man. It's even more lopsided, if you will. Because the black man is the single most biggest game out there. As far as, when I say game, I mean hunting game, prey. We are being hunted and dropped like nobody's business. More than any elephant in Africa, more than any tiger in India or wherever. More than any animal on this planet, we are being hunted and murdered more than any type of four-legged beast on this planet. Just like it was in the 60s, just like it was in the 50s, just like it was in the 1800s. Now we have to ask ourselves, if this is continuing to go on for 200 years at the very least, All right? What's going on? Because within that time, we didn't have rebellions. But the situation didn't change. We didn't have our riots. The situation didn't change. Various leaders have come out proclaiming various things. We didn't have boycotts. We didn't have sit-ins. We didn't have all kinds of stuff. The situation has not changed. So it must be something that we're doing wrong, or at the very least, we have to analyze what we've been doing and try to get on the path that is right. And again, I don't think I can stress this enough. It's not a bash for any person, group, or anything like that that had fought for the freedoms of the people of for black people. Okay? It's not a bash. We're not against any of that. But it's time to analyze our actions. Right? In the book of Psalms, chapter 5, starting at verse 8, it says, "Lead me, O Yahweh, in thy righteousness because of my enemies." So, I believe David wrote this. Yes, David wrote this. So, David is asking Yahweh, his mighty one, to lead him and his righteousness because of his enemies. Why? His enemies seek to keep him off the path of righteousness. His enemies seek to throw him off of the path that Yahweh has put him on. Whether it be by violence or whether it be by stealth. Because there's a lot of people who say they're your friends, but really are your enemies. They are trying to bring you off the path that Yahweh has put you on. So he asks Yahweh to lead him in his righteousness. Are our leaders saying this? Because if our leaders are on a path, and it's not Yahweh's path, it's going to end up in destruction. It's not going to work. Alright. So verse 8 again. "Lead me, O Yahweh, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." Verse 9. "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness." Their minds are wicked. There's no faithfulness in their mouth. So as soon as you start off on the path of Yahweh, they're going to try to deter you. And they see they can't deter you. They can't say something to get you off that path. They're thinking and they're scheming to get you off the path that Yahweh has for you. Or off of his path. Again, are our leader's mouth full of faithfulness? Do they have the conviction of Yahweh? Are they convinced that Yahweh is mighty one? Or are they doing like some leaders do, like from my understanding, Mr. Farrakhan is into Scientology now. So where is his faith in Allah that he preached for so many years? Where is it? What is going to be your end result? He says their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. You understand? So we can't have and follow people. And that's, I think that's one of the biggest things. We follow people based on their speech. A lot of people are very eloquent with their speech. They talk nice. And so because people talk nice, and then they're hearing something that you want to hear, it makes them easy to follow. But no one is questioning, hold up, is this right? Is this the correct path? Is this the path of truth? What's down this path? Again, Yahweh is the path of righteousness. He is going to get you to the destination that you desire. So, your leaders are to be speaking the things of Yahweh. Now, that being said, let's look at some of the things that Dr. King has said in the I Have a Dream speech. Now, so I Have a Dream, copyrighted 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. When I read that, the first thing that came to my mind, why did he copyright this? Why? And like I said, it's not a knock against anybody. But why? What is the purpose of a copyright? But let's keep on going. It says, speech by Reverend Martin Luther King at the March on Washington. And so we're not going to go through the whole speech today. We probably do this in a couple parts. I'm not sure how many parts, but we're definitely going to do it in a couple parts. So, let's begin. I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. 50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, that time is 1963. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. 50, a score is 20 years. 20 times 5 is 100. So 100 years ago, he's speaking on what happened, what Abraham Lincoln did. Okay? Says, this monumentous decree is a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negroes, slaves, millions of Negro slaves who have been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. So he realizes this. In 1863, that was supposed to have been the end of slavery. But slavery was still going on. In 1963, they just switched it a little bit. Let's continue. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still badly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on the lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. So we come here today to to dramatize a shameful condition. Now, some of the things that the brother is speaking about 100 years later. This was written in 1963. It is now 2016. Which is 53 years later. So you're talking about 53 years after this speech was made, and those same conditions are still upon us. Are we still suffering from injustice? Are we still crippled by segregation and discrimination? So a lot of people say, well, segregation doesn't happen. Well, what about when my child, matter of fact, here's a question for you. If segregation still is not relevant and discrimination still is not relevant, why is there still a need for affirmative action? Why is that still around if everybody's playing fair? Because the whole point of affirmative action was because of segregation and discrimination. Why is it if a man who is qualified to do a job makes a mistake in his life, gets locked up, right? He committed an act which is against the law. He gets locked up. Now you have a section on a job application who they say, we are equal opportunity employers. Why is there a section on the job application asking you to report your history as far as your criminal history? And why in that section do they even go so far as to say that this will not necessarily bar you from a job? Why even put that on there if you're an equal opportunity employer? If everybody, regardless of your situation, has the same opportunity at this job, why is that section there? Discrimination happens. See, but they're discriminating against you without quote-unquote discriminating against you. See, they're not going to say, well, you didn't get the job because you're a felon. Oh, no. Mm-mm. No. We just found somebody who's a little more suitable for the job. Even though the person who they hire might not have the skills or the experience or the resume that you do. A 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. Black people still broke 53 years after the speech was made. 53 years after the speech was made, we still on that same island of poverty. And if you look at the TV, look at just look at Black Friday, $54 billion spent in the weekend. So somebody got some money. Somebody have some money because it's being spent. A lot of it just saying we don't have it. As far as the pecking order goes, we're at the bottom. We're scratching the bottom of the barrel. More 100 years later, the Negro still languishes in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. Yeah, we still live in the ghetto. That's what he's saying. And now, where I live at in Baltimore, the white people want the city back. And I'm saying that in the most non-racist way I can say it. But I grew up in one of the poorest neighborhoods in Baltimore City, Barclay and 21st Street. When I grew up, those houses that they have around there now, which are $350,000 houses, single family homes with garages, beautiful, were not there for us. North Avenue, 20th Street did not look North Avenue, and right where North and Greenmount is, between North and Greenmount and North and Barclay, didn't look the way it looked. Wasn't no single family houses around there with no garages. Wasn't no $250,000, $300,000 houses around there. They were a city apartments is what they were. Low income housing was around there. That's what it was. But it's a 10 to 15 minute walk from where I live at to the jewel of Baltimore, which is the Inner Harbor. So what do they find? They say, well, we're going to give these Negroes free housing again in the form of Section 8. But what we're going to do is we're going to stick them way out in the county. So you find black folks all the way out Edgewood. Now Edgewood is, truth be told, is not that far from Pennsylvania. Truth be told. They stuck them out in the middle of nowhere. Just like Martin Luther King was saying in his speech, out in the corners of America. Get away from us, niggas, is basically what he was saying. So 53 years later, this is still going on. This is still an aspect of American society. So now we have to ask the question, because he states this was going on 100 years before he made this speech. So the 100 and the 53, that's a combination of 153 years. This has been going on at least. So for 153 years, it's time to examine and see where we went wrong. You know? And for us to see where we went wrong, we have to look at the scriptures. And we don't have to look any further than Deuteronomy 28. And I'm just going to touch on a little bit of stuff. A little bit of stuff within it. We'll start at verse 15. Verse 15 is where Verse 15 is where the curses begin. Okay? Now we have all these blessings as far as the first 14 verses. And what we didn't do. Because we didn't obey. We obeyed for a time. And then we got off track. Because a lot of leaders that we had were corrupt. They weren't telling us to obey Yahweh. They weren't telling us to follow the laws, the statutes, the judgments, the commandments. Those things got replaced with black pride. Now, when I say that, don't take it as, well, as black people, we shouldn't be proud. Yeah, every race should be proud in the fact that you want to help your fellow brother. You want to help your fellow man, you know. But when you have, you know, a national, what they call a nationalism, okay? But when that overtakes your love for the Most High, then you have a problem. When that overtakes your obedience to the Most High, you have a problem. See, because the Catholics run around helping people all day. You can't get more help than the Roman Catholic Church, which is the beast. They have more charities set up than any other group on this planet. So you can't get more help than them. But they're the beast. They're not following Yahweh's commands at all. You understand what I'm saying? So, we have to prioritize. Now, if our leaders are unaware, or if our leaders are not prioritizing and doing the things of Yahweh, and they're leading you, what path are they leading you on? See, because it has to be on Yahweh's path. And that's what black people haven't done yet. We have not stepped foot on Yahweh's path. We haven't tried to acquire his righteousness. We didn't acquire the righteousness of Allah. We in the same condition. We didn't acquire the righteousness of Jesus. We in the same condition. But we haven't tried to acquire Yahweh's righteousness. You know? So, Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, and side note, the same time we're doing this, I'm saying these things, Blog Talk is currently going through these same curses on Wednesday night, you know, on Jeremiah 1:10. So tune in for that. You know, you'll hear a lot of stuff, a lot of good things. You know, so, you know, we get a little bit more in depth. I'm just going to touch on some things here, but we get a lot more in depth on Wednesday night, right? Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, it says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh, thy mighty one, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in thy field. So the land that you live in, you're going to be cursed in. So it shouldn't be a surprise that we're out in the middle of nowhere, and nobody wants to be around us because we're a curse. Look at how we live in the ghetto. At one time we were in the ghetto was clean. I remember as a young child, waking up on Saturday morning. Wasn't no Saturday morning. You watch cartoons all day and this, that, and the other. You had to get your behinds up. You had to scrub them steps. You had to wash your front down. You had to get the trash out the gutter. And the whole neighborhood did it. Before you did anything. Wasn't no playing video games. We had video games. But we had work to do too. Everybody had trash cans. And you threw trash in the trash can. Nowadays, people don't even do that. In the ghetto. People just throw stuff on the ground. They throw trash on the ground. We like to live in trash. Therefore, nobody wants to be around us. Would you want to live around somebody who's just trashy all day? Just throws their garbage on the ground? We step out of our house. Our life is in danger. In the ghetto. Because that black power, that black pride that we had, ain't there no more. Now it's a self-hate. We hate ourselves, so we want to destroy one another. You hate you, so you want to destroy your brother. Verse 16. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Guess who's starving? Us. Can't wait till the first of the month when people getting they get their food stamps. Otherwise, they ain't eating. The atrocities that we're going through, that we go through, all come from disobedience of our Heavenly Father. And no leader is telling us to turn back to Him. So for 150 years and counting, these atrocities continue to happen to the people of the book. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Who's dying? Again, like I said, black people, the black male, number one prey in all the world. They murder us quicker than they kill more of us than they kill chickens. They kill us like we're cow, like we are slaughter, like we are led to the slaughter. Verse 19. Cursed shall thou be when you come in, cursed shall be when you go out. Verse 20. Yahweh shall send upon thee cursings, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand to do, hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, where thou hast forsaken me. So when we see these things going on, because I think, let me go back for a second. Very tough. See, because all of these were signs. When we saw these things happening, it's supposed to have been, like Martin Luther King said, a beacon. Supposed to have been a signal. Alright? That the leaders are supposed to, because they are the leaders, they're supposed to sing these things. And like, hold up. We way off track. We gotta get back on and in line with Yahweh and his path of righteousness. Because somewhere along the line, we messed up. Somewhere along the line, we done messed up. We done got off that path of righteousness. Off his path of righteousness. Right? So what did he say? He said, until thou be destroyed and perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doing, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Alright? Alright. So, 150 plus years, this, as he says, shameful condition continues. Alright? Our material prosperity is not there. Nobody wants to be around us with language in the corners of American society. Alright? We're still being segregated against. We're still being discriminated against. Alright? Now, let's continue with the speech of Martin Luther King. It says, in a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. Now, this has been going on. And your speech at this time, 100 years, why do you refuse to believe that this check, this bad check, as you call it, will somehow be cashed? Why are you still putting your faith within this system, which has clearly shown you it has no love for you, will not be fair to you? And why is the system not having love for you and not being fair to you? Because Yahweh said it won't love you and it won't be fair to you. See, it's funny that he says that it's a check. See, because one of the things that he says that Yahweh said within Deuteronomy 28, I'm trying to find it, is he says that you will be sold as bondmen and bond women, and no man will buy you. See, in other words, you're going to be sold, and nobody's coming to redeem you, not no man. Give me one second, family. All right, let's start from here right quick. I'll find that part when, as we're reading. Now, back to Dr. King, he says that he refused to believe. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity in this nation. All right? We're refusing to believe this. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9. He says, Yahweh shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle. As swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. So, why do you refuse to believe that you're going to get some favor when Yahweh said, this nation is of a fierce countenance and isn't going to show you any. It's not going to show you justice. It's not going to show you mercy. None of these things are coming your way. But you keep on coming back with this bad check and saying, please cash this. No, we're not cashing it. Get out of my bank. There is no justice coming your way. There is no equality coming your way. Why isn't equality and justice coming our way? Because you forsook your mighty one. Verse 51. and he shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your land until you be destroyed. Does that sound just to you? Until you be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of your kine, or flocks of your sheep, until he have destroyed you. This is the type of nation that Yahweh was bringing upon his people. Do you know why? For the same reason that today you hear the God of the Old Testament was a tyrant. See, those thoughts didn't just come about. They didn't just come about. These are the people who, they were said back then by our people. So Yahweh gave us over to tyrants. No, I'm going to show you what a tyrant is. See, this nation isn't going to have any regard for you when you plead to them and ask them to stop. See, that's all you had to do was go to your leader. And a lot of times, you didn't even have to go to your leader and Moses. When Moses saw that y'all did wrong, the first thing he did was plead for you. And I stopped. Many times, I was going to wipe you out. But Moses saved your behind, Israel. Many times. And you have the nerve to call me a tyrant? I'm going to show you what a tyrant is. I'm going to show you what it is by a human, just a man, who has no regard for you. I'm going to show you what it is to be totally rejected. And when you cry out to me, I'm going to hide my face from you. So you will thoroughly understand what a tyrant is. So you will thoroughly understand that I'm not a tyrant. When you called to me in Egypt, I answered. When you called to me in the wilderness, I answered. You said that you were thirsty. We in the wilderness. I brought water from a rock. You said that you was hungry. I rained manna down for you every day. You got tired of the manna. You said you wanted meat. I brought quail for you. And you called me a tyrant. I provided for you any and every way that you have ever asked me, Israel. And you turn away from me and you forsake me. So now I'm going to bring upon a nation upon you who is so fierce in their mannerisms, who are so uncouth in their ways, that you can't turn from them. Because whether we like it or not, black people, we are still captive in America. We cannot turn away from white people. We can't do it here. We can't. Why is it that these white men, these white cops, still slaughtering young men, young black men, old black men, middle-aged black men, black women? They don't care, and they're killing them and not going to jail for it. Not serving any time. Most cases not even losing their jobs. They go on administrative leave. Take a desk job. Because Yahweh said that this is the nation that he's going to bring upon us for our disobedience. But he also said that these were signs for us. All of these things were signs for us. Matter of fact, let me find that. I think I just read it. There you go. Verse 46. Matter of fact, starting 45. Moreover. Yeah. Verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of Yahweh, thy mighty one, that's the only. Listen to me. And he says this repeatedly. You get blessings for listening to me. You get curses when you don't listen to me. He says, because thou hast not hearkened, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of Yahweh thy mighty one, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. Verse 46, and they shall be upon thee for a sign. What's going to be upon thee for the sign? All these curses. So this is your beacon. But our leaders missed it. They missed it. He said, they shall be a sign upon thee for, they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. So the signal is still going. Right now, it's still going. But is any of the so-called black leaders today, are they catching it? No, they're not catching it. Because now, all our so-called black leaders, they're in the prosperity game. They're in that game that Martin Luther King was talking about. That vast sea of prosperity. Well, they're starting to suck up some of that ocean. They're getting off of that poverty island. And starting to suck up some of that ocean. So they don't have time for the whole signal thing. The God is talking to me thing. See, because the Most High is still talking to us right here, right now, 2016. These signs, these signals, these wonders are still going on, 2016. And people aren't catching them. The black leadership is not catching it. They're missing it. So, let me see here. Mm-hmm. Give me 1 second, fam. Verse 68, talking about that blank check, looking for justice. He says, and Yahweh shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto you. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bond men and bond women, and no man shall buy you. So I just thought it was very interesting that, you know, Martin Luther King used a blank check and marked it for insufficient funds in his speech when Yahweh said, nobody gonna buy you. Nobody's going to redeem you. Because that's what you use a check for. To buy something or to redeem something. You're looking to redeem some justice because of all the injustices that you suffered. You're looking for some freedom. But there is no freedom in captivity. The things that we are looking for, we're not going to find. Not unless we, what David say, Yahweh, lead me to your righteousness. Lead me in your paths, in your righteousness. Again, back to Dr. King's speech. It says, We have also come to this hollow spot to remind America. Oh, something else I wanted to say. Go back here. About this check. But it wasn't about the check. It's about, there you go. Said this note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, will be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Now, America has never considered the people of color citizens. Still having today. Give me 1 second. Okay, now what I'm about to read to you is, and this is for Maryland, the 1638 Maryland Doctrine of Exclusion. The Council for the Maryland Colony Edict stated, this is in 1638, neither the existing black population, their descendants, nor any other blacks shall be permitted to enjoy the fruits of white society. The doctrine was written to ensure that blacks would remain a subordinate, non-competitive, non-compensated workforce. This public edict later became more commonly known as the Doctrine of Exclusion around the mid-1660s. Various colonies picked up the Maryland Edict, or the Doctrine of Exclusion, and expanded it into enslavement laws of the people of African descent. Once established, the laws became the basis for a national public policy on the exploitation of blacks that was passed on from generation to generation through social customs and public laws. Now, this was the beginnings of it. All right? You come a little bit later with the Dred Scott decision. And I'm looking for it. Give me 1 second. Okay. This is the Dred Scott versus Sanford. This happened in 1857. The U.S. Supreme Court, Dred Scott versus Sanford was a landmark decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in which the court held that African Americans, whether enslaved or free, so it doesn't matter about the Emancipation Proclamation, which came 6 years after this. 1863. Yep, 6 years after this. Okay? At that time, they were already free slaves. Alright? Now, Dred Scott versus Sanford was a landmark decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in which the court held that African Americans, whether enslaved or free, could not be American citizens and therefore had no standing to sue in court. And it's just echoing the sentiments of the 1960 document of exclusion. See, because you're not a citizen, you can't enjoy the fruits of citizenship. All right? So, it says, they could not be American citizens, therefore had no standing to sue in federal court, and that the federal government had no power to regulate slavery in the federal territories acquired after the creation of the United States. All right? So, Dr. King is saying that these things were not done for its black citizens. But they never considered us citizens. We were always property. Why? Because this nation of fierce countenance which Yahweh brought upon us would never give us justice. So he said he's bringing back a bad check. Well, what happens when you bring a bad check back? It still don't get cash. It don't get redeemed. The only way it can get redeemed is if the funds are made good. All right? All right? So, we were never in that state of mind when it comes to the oppressor or the person that Yahweh used in this situation. All right? It says, now, back to matter of fact, we're going to stop right here for the day, and we'll pick up with some more. Yeah, we'll pick up next week. This is Brother Dale. Well, I hope this has been edifying for you. And again, if we look to our black leaders, and that leader is not leading us to Yahweh, don't follow. You know, don't follow. Because that leader is sending you down a path of destruction. Matter of fact, a leader must bring you to Yahweh, okay? So, again, the book of Psalms, chapter 5, verse 8. Lead me, O Yahweh, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with the tongue. Right? Don't follow a man just because he's saying the right things, speaks nice, or saying something that is pleasing to your ears. All right? Follow that man if he is following the word of Yahweh. If he's leading you to the paths of Yahweh. He said, broad, wide is the road of destruction. Straight, narrow is the path of righteousness. and few going to find that path of righteousness. Right? Follow the man that's breathing, that's leading you and bringing you to the path of righteousness. This is Brother Dayewell. Thank you for joining me at Bible 101. And Yahweh bless you and keep you always. Shalom.